I would like to ask you a question today. Is God preparing you for a special work? Is God preparing you for a special ministry? This church is an amazing church across the nation. It's known around the nation, and people love this place. My wife and I, all of us, we love it just dearly. And this church is a big supporter of missions around the world. But what about you as an individual? Are you an evangelist? Of course you are. Because it's our job to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. The Great Commission was given to you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so is Jesus preparing you for a very special work? I don't know what that work is, and I don't know who you are, and I don't know what your opportunities and your abilities are, but everybody here has got certain abilities that you can use for the honor and glory of the Lord. I don't care who you are, God wants to use you. Turn with me, if you will, into John chapter 4, John chapter 4. While you're turning there, I'll take another sip of water. The Lord does not do things by accident. Everything he does deliberately and on purpose. He has a reason for everything that he's doing in your life. Many times we don't see it, but he is. In John chapter 4 says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. He says to the disciples, I've got to go through Samaria. We're going through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, thus sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. For the disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? But the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would plant a seed in the heart of many, many people here today to do a great work for the cause of Christ. Lord, help us in this time, in Jesus' name, amen. Is God doing a great work in your life? You say, who, me? Who, me? I'm nothing. I don't have any ability. I don't know of anything that I can do. But it just may be that God is using you to do great and mighty things, maybe even through someone else close to you. You never know. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Now, you all know the story of the woman at the well. When Jesus got to Sychar's well, he tells his disciples, he says, I'm tired, and I'm hungry, and I'm thirsty. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into the city and buy some meat. And I'm just going to sit here on this well. Now, sometimes Jesus has to get some people out of the way before he can do what he's going to do. Uh-huh. And so I pray that's not you, but the disciples going into town, and Jesus is sitting at Jacob's well, and here comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. She's coming in the time of day when nobody else comes because she didn't have a very good reputation. She had been married 5 times and then was living with a man that was not her husband. And Jesus asked her for a drink. And the woman was startled. She said, "You being a Jew would ask of me, a Samaritan, for a drink of water?" Jesus said, "If you knew who it was talking to you, you'd ask of me, and I would give you living water where you'd never thirst again." Well, this really blew her mind. She said, "You know, where am I going to get this?" And Jesus conversed with that woman, and she said, "Give me this living water." He said, go call your husband." She said, "I have no husband." He said, "You said that right. You've had five husbands, and the man that you're living with is not even your husband." Then she began to argue with Jesus. "Oh, I see you're a prophet." But Jesus got right down to the heart of the matter. And it's amazing. You know, I see this woman like I would see some of these little girls here today. They all dream of someday getting married and having a home and having a family. And it may be that a man came along, a young man came along and said, "Oh, you're so pretty. Would you marry me?" And she said, "Oh, yes." So they get married. They live together for a little while, and he doesn't like the way she's doing, so he kicks her out. He just kicks her out. So here she is on her own, a young lady. And another man comes along. He says, "Oh, my goodness, you're such a good cook, and you're so beautiful. Would you marry me?" She marries him. Next thing you know, he kicks her out. Number three comes along. He says, "Boy, I sure would like to be married to you." And she said, "Okay." So they get married. A little while later, he kicks her out again. Then number four comes along. And they get married again. He kicks her out. Number five comes along. They get married. He kicks her out. Number six comes along. He said, "Oh, you're so beautiful. You're so wonderful. I just love you so much. Let's get married." She said, "Forget it. We'll just live together." That's sort of the days we're living in today, isn't it? Huh? And so this woman had a deep down need that nobody else seemed to recognize. But Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria." Now, stay with me because we're going somewhere with this, all right? Now, the woman, she left her water pot. She went into the city and told all the men. Then here comes the disciples, and they say, "Lord, here we got some meat here." He said, "I'm not hungry." Now, Brother Jerry, this is one of the most amazing things that I see in the Bible. When he arrived at the well, he was tired, he was hungry, and he was thirsty. And when they arrived back, he says, "I'm not hungry." And there's no indication that he even got to drink of water. She left her water pot. Maybe he drew it himself. I don't know. But here he was. He had meat. He said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Now, was Jesus preparing this woman for a great work to be taking place in Samaria? As we fast forward, we see Jesus going about his ministry. Jesus is crucified on the cross. He arose on the third day. 40 days later, he ascended back into the heavens. And then the Holy Spirit comes down and 3,000 people get saved. 5,000 people get saved. A multitude gets saved. Multitudes get saved. People are getting saved by the thousands. And the church is just doing great. Church is doing wonderful. Until persecution sets in. And then also a little griping among the widows in the church. And so the church scattered out and spread out. And then we see in Acts chapter 8. Turn there with me if you will. Acts chapter 8. I don't know if you ever put this together like this or not, Brother Jerry. But it speaks to my heart. Acts chapter 8. Verse 26. No, I'm sorry. Let's back up. Let's back up to verse 5. We'll go to 26 later. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they were lame and healed. And verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. Now, who prepared for that great meeting to take place? The woman at the well.
Amen.
Jesus was setting Philip up for a great revival of soul, a great gathering of souls to be saved in Samaria. Isn't that amazing? And so we see that Philip, he's the evangelist here, and you know, an evangelist, he wants some things. You know, evangelist, he wants to go forward. An evangelist desires to preach in spiritual deserts. When Jesus went to Samaria, he went to a spiritual desert. But when Philip went there, the people just thronged around him because this woman left her water pots and went into town and told the men what great things God had done for her. You know, preparation has to be made in order for the gospel to really take its effect. And that's why everybody in this church needs to be on board with Brother Ross to make this church a seedbed of presenting the gospel to a lost and dying world. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people get saved. 5,000 people get saved. I mean, because preparation had been made. Philip goes down to Samaria and great preparation was made and a great revival took place. Paul went to Athens, Greece, to Mars Hill, and he saw all the statues of the unknown God and all the other gods that they knew about. And he said, I see that you are very religious. My goodness, you know. And he preached his heart out to the people on Mars Hill. Just a few people got saved. You know why? No real preparation was made there for a great meeting. If you're going to have a great harvest of souls, you've got to have some preparation made in order to do that. And I believe that this church is the result of many, many preparations going on. Brother Jerry's father and mother and on down the line for the last 40 years. And you are here today because great preparation was made for you. Are you making preparation for others? Are you willing to go out and reach others for the cause of Christ? Now, Philip is doing just great in Samaria. There's great joy in the city. Now, I could not imagine going to Evansville, Indiana, and everywhere you go, people be talking about the Lord. I mean, that would be a miracle of miracles to take place. It's just not going to happen unless God gets in on it. But I can't imagine there being great joy in Evansville, Indiana. I can't even imagine great joy in Jasonville. Can you? I'm talking about everybody in Jasonville talking about the Lord. You can't go anywhere where people are not talking about the Lord. There is great joy in all of the city. The evangelist Philip, he goes to where the people are. And he only has one message. And that's Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. He expounds the scripture so that they can understand it. You've got to put it down low enough to where the children can understand the Word of God. And they do understand. And the evangelist, he seeks to proclaim Christ wherever they are. So Philip, he is really in his heyday. Philip is having a great time. I can't imagine anybody having more joy than Philip is having. I don't see this anywhere else in the Bible. I'm talking about the whole country upside down with the gospel of Christ and great joy in all of the city. But you know, it has to go out from there. That's not all of it. God says, Philip, I want you to leave here. And I want you to go out into the desert. In verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit saith unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth, and so forth and so on. And the eunuch said to Philip, he said, is he talking about somebody else, or is he talking about himself? And Philip used that opportunity to preach to that Ethiopian eunuch the word of God. Isn't that amazing? And they're riding along, and there was great joy in that chariot. And as they were riding along, they came to an oasis, much water. And he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip says, nothing, if you believe with all your heart. That's one scripture right there, Brother Ross, that helped me more than any scripture in the Bible. Because I had many doubts. I got saved when I was about 10 or 11 years old in church, and nobody make a big deal out of it. Nobody explained anything to me. I did everything that the Bible says I'm supposed to do, but after it was over with, the old devil come back and said, did you really mean that? Did you really get saved? Did you really trust Christ as your Savior? And I'd think, well, you know, the Bible says you're supposed to believe with all your heart, and I just don't know. I mean, if I believe with all my heart, I wouldn't be thinking like I'm thinking, and I wouldn't be doing like I'm doing, and, you know, did I really get saved? Until it dawned on me one day, what is it? What is it that you believe with all your heart? Philip saith, nothing if you believe with all your heart. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I thought, wow, I never ever had any problem with that. I never had a problem with that one time in my life. I always believed that Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be. So that cleared that up for me. And so they both went down in the water and was baptized. And when he came back up out of the water, the Spirit takes Philip away and the Ethiopian eunuch goes on his way. And Africa was known as a Christian nation for the first 300 years after Christ. It's not darkest of Africa because of their color. It's because they turned a deaf ear after about 300 years. And so it's an amazing thing what the gospel will do, because there can be great joy in the city. There can be great joy in the desert. There can be great joy in Africa. Now, are you a servant of God? Have you been called to serve God? Are you an evangelist? Now, Brother Ross is the pastor of this church, but he is an evangelist. He preaches evangelistic messages. And as a result, he would like to turn everybody in this church into evangelists. An evangelist to reach your family, to reach your loved ones, to reach people at school, to reach people wherever you are. I was telling last night about the man passing out tracts in our church. His name is Bill Lee. Bill Lee, Brother Ross, influenced him tremendously. He's 87. I didn't tell you this last night. He's 87 years old. And he's got a purpose in life. Passing out tracts everywhere he goes. Everywhere he goes, passing out tracts. Telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody in this church could be passing out tracts. You could be passing out thousands of tracts. The tracts that he passed out influenced this man. Has the tracts he passed out influenced you to go out and pass out tracts? Passing out tracts all over Jacksonville, all over Linton, all over Indiana, all over the whole country. Wouldn't that be something? And there could be great joy in doing that. And so, are you a servant of God? Now, we see a lot of servants that they didn't want to do it. I'm talking to people right now. You don't want to do it. Now is not the right time. I can't do that, and I won't do that, and I'll be too embarrassed, and now's not the right time, and you know, I need to talk to somebody, but now's not a good time. I'll do it later. Burning bush showed up Moses went to see about it. And God began to speak to Moses in Exodus chapter 4. And you know what Moses did? Moses argued with the Lord. He said, Lord, my speech is I can't talk right, and I just can't do that. And it's amazing how that the Lord just argued with Moses there, and he said, now, I tell you what, your brother Aaron's coming to meet you, and there's nothing wrong with his speech, and he said, I'll let him speak for you. That's an amazing thing. Aaron never did speak for Moses. Moses was just putting up an argument why he couldn't go. He was happy to be on the backside of the desert watching his father-in-law's sheep. He didn't want to go back to Egypt. He didn't lose anything there. He just wanted to be where he was and just live out his life and be comfortable. God help you, and God help me. And so we see that that Moses argued on the basis of his speech. I can't talk right. Some of you may say, well, I just don't know the words to say. Are you saved? First thing you can do is tell somebody, say, hey, I was on my way to hell. I was a lost sinner, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. You know, you can talk about your church, and they'll argue with you. You can talk about your preacher, they'll argue with you. You can talk about the Bible, they'll argue with you. But when you say, I was an old lost sinner on my way to hell, and Jesus came to my heart and convicted me of my sins, and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, there's no argument with that. There's no argument with that. And so we see that Moses, he argued on the basis of his speech. And then we see that Gideon argued on the basis of his inadequacy. In Judges chapter 6, Gideon, he's over behind the place thrashing out the wheat, hiding from the Midianites. And God said, Gideon, thy mighty man of valor. Who, me? I can't do that. And that's what some of you may be saying. Who, me? I can't do that. I can't pass out tracts. I can't tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. You most certainly can. If the woman at the well can do it, you can do it. All right? And so Gideon, he argued, he said, Lord, he said, I'm the smallest in my father's house. I can't do this. Send somebody else. You know, the old saying is, let George do it. If your name is George, you've been, any Georges here? I'm glad you're not here, George, because everybody wants you to do it. And they're trying to pass it off on you. And so you don't get that chance today because George is not here. But anyway, we see that Gideon, he didn't want to go do what God wanted him to do. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, it's an amazing thing. I think we'll turn to Isaiah 6. For time, we'll not turn to all of these. But Isaiah is an amazing character in the Bible, if I can find it here. If you get there, go ahead and read it before I do. Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 6. I'm getting closer. That's a long book, isn't it? Isaiah, he loved his king. And he was enamored by his king. And he looked up to his king. But the king died. Up until this time, Isaiah hadn't even looked to the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, of the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with the smoke. Now, Isaiah couldn't go because he was just a bad sinner. He was just a wicked person. That's what he felt like when he saw the Lord. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, and I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. The Lord took a coal off the fire and put it on his tongue and cleansed him. And he said, who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, send me. Is that you? Has God called you to go to talk to your friends, to your loved ones, to your neighbors? And you say, I can't do that. And you know, one of the hardest things to do is to witness to your brother, because your brother grew up with you and he knows what you are. He knows how you were, right? And so you go to tell your brother, say, listen, I want to talk to you about the Lord. Right. They don't want to hear it many times. So it's a hard thing. And so Isaiah, he said, woe is me, I can't do this. I just can't go. But God called him to go. Jeremiah argued with the Lord on the basis of his youth. He said, Lord, he said, I can't do that. The Lord said, Jeremiah, while you were still in the belly, before you were born, I knew thee. And he said, don't let people look at your youth. You stand up and be a man. And we see that Jeremiah argued on the basis of his youth, but that was not a good argument. You young people that ride the bus, every one of you could get somebody else to ride the bus if you would. You can get people that the adults can't get. Are you too good for that? Or are you too mean for that? Get busy and get those buses rolling and get people in here. Amen? Right. All right. And so Jeremiah, he said, well, I'm just a child. I can't do that. Children, understand that you have great power walking with the Lord. Then Ananias, he argued with the Lord, because the Lord said to Ananias, he said, now Saul of Tarsus has gotten saved and I want you to baptize him. And Ananias said, oh, I've heard some bad things about him and I just don't know about this. When the Lord tells you to do something, what should you do? Do it. When the Lord tells you to do something, just do it. Wouldn't it be great in the midst of all that's going on in America to see great joy in all the city? It's not going to happen until you get some great joy in this church. God help us. You, a preacher, you, an evangelist, you, a missionary. The woman at the well did a pretty good job, didn't she? You're talking about an advanced man. All these big evangelists, they always had these advanced men that would go in and work an area for months and months and months. And then the evangelists would come to town, like Billy Sunday or John Rice or somebody like that, you know. All these advanced men. I tell you what, that woman at the well, she became one of the best advanced men you'll find in the Bible. She prepared the way. And when Philip showed up, they were hungry, and they were waiting for it. Is anybody hungry for what you've got to say? Or do you maybe need to humble yourself a little bit in the sight of the Lord? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just need You. Lord, we need You working in our city. We need You working in our countryside. Lord, we need You working in this place. Lord, I just pray that You'll help this time of invitation. And Brother Ross is going to come and lead this invitation. Lord, I pray that You'll just have Your will and Your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Ross.